Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Peter Maxwell Slattery, and today we've got Peter Kling back. How are you going, Peter?
Very good. How are you doing today, Peter?
Good.
You know, we ought to call this the Pete and Repeat Show.
That would be a good one. We'll be catching up every now and then. I find absolutely what you've got to say fascinating. Forgive me, everyone. I've got a little bit of a head cold at the moment, or getting over it. Now, before we get into the show, we had you on last time, and I just want to let the viewers and listeners know that you can download the audio version of the show for free at petermaxwellslattery.com at the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show page. And I suggest listening to it or watching it before this, because we went for about 2 hours and 20 minutes last time and covered an absolute lot. We'll touch on some of that, I guess, today. We're going into a little bit of Armageddon, Nibiru, the Second Coming, and basically how this is the beginning. Now is the beginning from where we're going to go with what's going on. So you're known as the Einstein of biblical prophecy, and you bring your scientific and religious knowledge together to unravel what's going on, what the, I guess, secret societies, religion, the cabal, the Illuminati, however people want to term it, is hiding from us. Where would you like to start off from last time we spoke? Because we're just getting up to the Nibiru and Second Coming and all that, and the new beginning.
Well, you know, let's start off. We're going to kind of recap here, but I don't want to recap it in a three-dimensional world. I want to recap it in the view of the multiverse. People are saying, what? Multiverse? Yeah. Let's take a look at the reality of the situation. We live in a world, our three-dimensional world, in order for seven other dimensions plus the dimension of time. Time is a variable dimension across all other dimensions. Now, it's interesting. We live in actually a 10-dimensional multiverse. Now, it can be more. This is all string theory, which turned into M theory, and then it became super string theory. And the reason why it grew from into super string is because they were looking for essentially the God particle. The answer to all is that all energy vibrates like a string. You know, kind of like a guitar string or a violin string or a piano string. It all vibrates to a specific frequency. Now, this is important because, you know, we use words like, wow, that vibes with me, or, boy, I'm in harmony with that, or, you know, when you feel everything is good, it's the right vibe, or with me. You see, it all comes down to the vibration of string. And it's that vibration, it's the energy that is contained within that vibration. You know, you need some sort of energy to go pluck and make that string on the guitar or whatever instrument you have vibrate. And it's that energy that keeps that string vibrating, which is essentially the pure dynamic energy of the God particle. Now, atomic structure. When you get down to the size of an atom, when you go to the next level of where this string is, first, at the atomic level, there is one part of solid for 4 trillion parts of empty space. And the string resides inside of that one part of solid matter. And then inside that string vibrates the actual God particle. And that's what they spent, I forgot how many hundreds of billions of dollars, building the Hadron Collider in CERN. They're looking for the God particle. Of course, there's every conspiracy about that machine that's come about it, as far as creating a portal and allowing extra dimensionals to come in and so forth, so on. Okay, whatever. You know, some people just need something to believe in. they believe that they found it. They believe that they found the God particle and that it does exist. Well, what is the God particle? if you can neither create nor destroy energy, but only transform it,
change its state.
Yeah, change its state. And when you look at what's written in the scriptures, when God is talking about himself, Yahweh says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Before me, there was wait a minute. How could you have nothing? Something has to be there because you cannot create or destroy energy. So if nothing existed, that means the only thing, you know, if we had like nothing physical existed, nothing in the other seven dimensions existed, we would essentially go back to pure energy. And that's what, because they've measured the rate of expansion of the universe, and it's actually accelerating. And they're saying one day, billions of years from now, the universe is going to get to a point where it'll start ripping itself down beyond the atomic structure, and there will not be anything left. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Before me, there was nothing. After me, there was nothing. The event horizon to event horizon. So, you know, here's a question. You ever watch, you know, we're all human. We've got families. Some of us have children. Some of us have little brothers. Some of us have older brothers. You know, we have cousins, nephews, nieces, whatever the case might be. And it's funny. When a child is born, it's just this little package, and it grows up. And then it seems to slow down until it hits its teenage years. And then it starts to expand again even faster. You know, and a kid just consumes all sorts of foods and stuff and everything. And you say, boy, you're growing like a weed. What's wrong with you? You know. Next thing you know, you're looking your son in the eye. And you're not looking down at him. You're looking up at him. You know, it's like, wow, where did he grow up overnight at? And could it possibly be that the universe is in its teenage years? Growing rapidly. I don't know. You know, humans have only been around for a few thousand years. We go back and start time from the cradle of civilization with what we have as far as the biblical record. The biblical record puts us at not quite 6,050 years, about 6,035 years old. When you calculate from, if you look at biblical chronology, it tells you Adam lived for, I believe it was 936 years, and then each descendant is given the amount of years, and you can actually calculate the length of days, so to speak, from creation down till now, just by the biblical chronology. So there's a record. There's a record that flows all the way through. So once you people say, oh, well, but that's impossible that they lived 900 years. You know, especially when God said, well, the very day you eat from that fruit, you're going to die. Whoa, 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 whoa. In the book of Peter, we are told that one of God's days equals 1,000 man or earth years.
Yeah.
So, whose timetable are we on? Does the cosmos run on Earth time? No, afraid not. The Earth runs on the time that is being kept at the very core of the multiverse itself. So, what's the core of the multiverse? The best way to explain this is to use fractal technology and look at our own bodies. Fractal technology is essentially a technology which shows repetitive patterns as it continues to grow or expand, or the deeper you look or the further away you get, the more that you see a pattern. And as a matter of fact, by using fractal technology, they can, and the projected patterns by fractal technology, they can go to one tree in the Amazon and tell the hell the immediate area just by using fractal technology. As a matter of fact, the whole section of jungle that tree resides in.
What can they tell about the area? It just froze there. We're getting a bit of freezing every now and then. What could they tell from the tree about the whole Amazon from that?
using fractal technology, they can actually tell the health, just by examining one tree, they can tell the health of the whole Amazon, you know, that whole. And so fractal technology works. So now let's take a look at the human body, okay? We are hosts to billions of life forms. We have bacteria crawling over our skin. We got little bugs crawling around our face, eyes, inside of our nose, in our ears, in our hair. Hopefully we don't have any of the ones considered to be socially contagious. But we have essentially bacteria from the point of and they all live inside of us. And indeed, if we didn't have these bacteria in us, we would die. We need to have the bacteria in our gut to help digest our food so that we can process it, extract the nutrients out of it to make the body a living organism. And we are host to hundreds of billions of different life forms within our own body itself. Now, when do we have a problem when the bacteria get out of hand. We have a problem if there is a viral infection. It is believed that cancer is a virus. We have viruses like AIDS. If you get a virus like the AIDS virus,
HIV.
There's a chance HIV. Chance that, you know, you are going to die. So the body will either, well, the first response that the body has is to react and to fight against whatever is going on. The body starts, if you have the resources and the body is healthy enough, your body starts creating antibodies and it starts producing these and all the chemical factories go on and they start creating the things that they need for the white blood cells to fighting the infection. And if you're healthy enough, the white blood cells win. Just that simple. Infection is done away with it. And we return to a healthy state of mind and body. The white blood cells lose or a malignant tumor starts to grow, which is not immediately addressed, then that tumor will grow out of control and a cancer will infect the whole body and certainly destroy the body that is host. Will die when the body dies. Now, everybody says, oh, well, God can't exist because God is no old man just floating around on clouds, you know, listening to harp music. That's got to be a bunch of crap. You're right. We live within the body of Yahweh, God himself.
Yeah.
Oh, but you can't prove that. Well, you go ahead and disprove it. Because science will tell you that the... And a very interesting thing. It was about 3-4 years ago. It'll be 4 years ago this summer, your winter, that I had the opportunity of meeting Dr. Mikio Kaku. I was they asked me to come down and be a guest on one of his TV programs that they were shooting as part of the guest audience. And it's kind of, because he's a professor, it's kind of geared. And, you know, then they put the filler in back in the studio. So, you know, they do several takes. Then afterward, it's like, you know, a little, you know, wine and cheese party. And so after the during the reception, I had a chance to talk to the good doctor. And I proposed to the doctor that, you know, could it possibly be that God is the multiverse in which we live? And he said, well, you know, I'm a theoretical physicist, and if you want to talk about God, you to so shucks, I just you have to go down the hall to philosophy. It's almost hilarious. He said he told me I had to go down the hall to philosophy if I wanted to talk about God. In the next year, and so I gave him a copy of my book, Letters to Earth, You Can Survive Armageddon. So the next year, I'm watching the next series of his shows because, you know, I was on the set. I was part of the audience. You know, I've got an interest in the good doctor. And it raises the question, scientists believe that the Earth is a living organism. Could the universe itself be a living organism and indeed be God? The good doctor went down the hall to philosophy. He found the word of God. He read Letters to Earth, You Can Survive Armageddon. And he did a show that raised the same question that I did.
That's fantastic.
For, you know, as a consultant to the good doctor, I think that I should have probably have gotten at least a consultant's fee for my services, which no doubt they couldn't afford anyway. So I might as well just give it for free and get over it. And I do the same thing here. You know, it's like it's the truth is not a secret. The truth shouldn't cost you anything to hear. Now, if you want to read my, and I'd love it to give it to you away free, but my publisher requires that they get paid for their efforts. So
it's the same with me. My books are print on demand, and yeah, it works exactly the same way. And people now, think I get a heap. I get 50 cents to $3 a book, depending on the format it's sold. It's not like we're bloody millionaires just because we've got books out.
No, yeah, and
I'd love to give it away for free too, but that's the fact of the matter.
Here's the situation. The printing effort, not my time in writing, but the cost that I invested in getting Letters to Earth done and the support system of having a website, I don't think I'll ever see that money back.
Mine basically covers the cost for the website, and every now and then I'll get a couple of bucks here and there, like, you know, 10, 20 bucks that I'll get, but... Yeah, exactly right. Unless you're a New York Times bestseller or you get a commission before you do it. Yeah.
And you see, I should have known better. I should have known better because while I was writing Letters to Earth, I basically put a knife to my own throat when I wrote chapters 10 and 11, which deal with the protocol of the learned elders of Zion. And right in the book, I even quote their own words that those who go against them in print will never succeed. Because they control the press. I'm so smart. I got to the point. Yeah, great. Okay. Uh-huh. And then you wonder, why isn't this book selling? Peter, your first interview was before a TV producer who was Jewish and Zionist. And you're wondering, and you quoted from the protocol of the learned elders of Zion, the worst the only book that might be considered nowadays a bigger hoax. But it's funny.
Can you say that again? Which book do you consider a hoax?
The letters, a protocol of the learned elders of Zion. Now, let me tell you about the letters of the... I wrote about it in Letters to Earth, You Can't Survive Armageddon. But in the protocol, which was published in 1903, it's believed that they were the minutes from the... And I know, if you notice, the transmission's starting to go fuzzy.
Yeah. What was the... you thinking this... book or had the minutes from what in it?
From the first Congress of Zion that was held in Switzerland in 1897. It was during this Congress that they decided how to repatriate the Holy Land. Remember, not too many Jews lived in the Holy Land. After that, in 1903, you had the protocol. Now, the protocol of the learned elders of Zion is believed to be the minutes from that meeting, which lays out their plan for world domination. And so, now here's the interesting thing. After the Bolshevik Revolution, if you had a copy of this book, it was a death sentence. The Bolshevik Revolution was a Zionist uprising funded by the Rothschilds and Oppenheimer families. So, follow the money.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. And that's part of the situation of where we are today on this planet and why the truth doesn't get out. It's being suppressed. You've got like 6 corporations own all of the news media of the world. Hey, you guys, you want to keep on printing? Write the stuff. Otherwise, you're going to start falling out of windows like these bankers are.
Exactly. That's how the game is played.
Yeah. Do I need to explain more?
Yeah.
So... Now, interestingly enough, Letters to Earth has found its way to some of the most highest levels of individuals on this world, including the person who is charged with rebuilding Solomon's Temple on the Jerusalem. Think about the implications of that. Anyway, so where are we? You know, where are we? In the stream of time. You can't get the truth out unless you tune into radio shows like this that Peter's putting on, I'm a guest at. It's all being controlled. It's, you know, this is essentially underground radio.
Yeah.
is what it would have been called. You know, if underground radio, we would be broadcasting on ham radios across the planet.
Probably... in a bunker underground, a little dirt bunker we've dug out.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, that looks like a block wall behind you. You see behind me, there's just the man behind the curtain. Well, you can't really tell. He's an interdimensional. It's hard to keep track of where he is. From what I was told, I thought, wow. This is interesting. We're going to talk about this paradigm in just a second. You see, where we are, and this all comes back to this to something that any ancient Egyptologist will tell you, as above, so below.
Yeah.
Even when you say the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done in heaven, and may it also be done on earth below. So there's this... connect below. Now, outside of the fact that, I shouldn't say fact, outside of the possibility that there may be bases, alien-type bases on Mars and the Moon, and that there seems to be significant evidence toward that end, there are other life forms in other dimensions. And this is where the story really starts. The story really starts because when you look at the scriptures, and here's the problem with the Bible. It was Emperor Constantine that commissioned the Bible to be written. So now, okay, wow, all the Christian scholars, it's their time to shine. It's their time to get together and do something that will be earth-changing. And so the Christian scholars all get together and they go over all the Hebrew scriptures and all the important letters. And what do you put the Bible canon together? And so now over the course of several different committees and finally they put this biblical canon together under the order of Emperor Constantine. Now the story goes that Constantine won a battle because he saw Christ in the heavens above. And he was told, and he was showing the sign of the cross. Okay, whatever. Emperor Constantine was an avid Mithra. Go to the god Mithra in Wikipedia, and I believe one of the first things that it'll tell you is that it's the pagan Christ. The pagan Christ? What do you mean? Yeah, the pagan Christ. So it's the pagan version of the biblical story of Jesus and, you know, the ancestry there. And it also revolves around Mithra being a sun, being God of the sun or son of the god. So now you start having this little, who was his mother? Well, when you go back to the very beginning, back to the ancient Sumerians, you get the first and original story where you have Nimrod, Sirianus, and Tammuz. Nimrod was the first sun god, king, human combination, and we learn the story much better because the Egyptians chiseled it in stone. His wife...
That's Queen Semiramis, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
That's Queen Semiramis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. She was actually a prostitute. He meets her in a brothel or in an inn, and I guess, you know, she had her way with him, and he was so happy with what she, the services she provided, he took her home. And well, you know, it was time to pay the hooker here, and she had him put to death and took over his kingdom. Now, interestingly, in the 18th chapter, there's a verse about the whore of Babylon, and it reads, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, no mourning shall I see. And these are actually words that Sirianus could have used herself after she had Nimrod put to death.
I haven't connected that until you just said that.
Yeah.
Because I've read the Bible a few, like, 6-7 times from front to back, and I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah, I never picked up on that.
You see, so it connects right back to where? Right back to where the story starts. And when you look at Sirianus, it's hard to find these texts, all of this stuff now on the internet because it's just buried in misinformation and disinformation. But when I first started, back in the good old days of the internet, when it was still in its infancy and still had good, reliable information that you can find 3, 4, 5 different sources all saying the same thing, Sirianus has Nimrod put to death. And then after that, she becomes pregnant. And she claims that it's Nimrod incarnate. And so she gives birth to, I forget the name in Sumerian, but it is in Hebrew, it's Tammuz. And there's even a month named Tammuz on the Hebrew calendar. Here you have the first story of the Madonna, the first Madonna story being told where? Right back in ancient Samaria. Now let's look at this closer. Where'd the idea for religion and government come from? See, when you look at the scriptures, when you turn to Genesis and you read the account of Nimrod, and it says Nimrod was a mighty hunter in opposition to Yahweh. That's it? Well, pretty much. And then it goes on and talks about the Tower of Babel and how all the languages were of one kind. You know, they all spoke the same language. And they weren't following the command to spread across the earth and fill it. So God said, okay, confuse the languages.
Yep.
Now, interestingly enough, this is where sign language first started. Was building work going together by using sign language. And the problem was is that the support staff that it took to build this huge monument to the heavens, you couldn't teach them all sign language, and so people left off, even the scriptures say that the people eventually left off building the temple and dispersed. And they took the religious beliefs that were given to them that they learned from the the same ideas of rulership or government with them, and they spread around the world. So you have sun worshipers from Egypt to Mesoamerica. They're all doing the same thing. no matter where you go, whether it's in Stonehenge or on Christmas Island, they're all aligning to the sun. So what does that tell you? These people who had advanced tech, acted by the Anunnaki, who gave them religion and government as major ways of controlling the masses, they took that technology with them. And among that technology was astrology, astronomy, metalworking, learning how to navigate by the stars. And all these great cultures all had this, and they take it all over the place. So the same story is repetitive. And so you get the same flood story and the same drag culture around the world. Isn't that interesting? No, it's history. And it's the true history. It's not some convoluted nonsense that academia is trying to sell to everyone's children. Oh, well, your ancestors swung in trees. No. The genetic design that was used in the human genome, part of it may have been used to swing from trees. The fact of the matter is, and this is something that few weeks, from different sources, as a matter of fact, our DNA, all this junk DNA that they didn't know, well, it's just junk DNA, it doesn't make any difference. No, it does make a difference. In that junk DNA that we have that they couldn't figure out before is the DNA of every life form on this planet. Yeah, think
we've
about
seen that.
With DNA is all the genetic information for every genetic life form on this planet, all the way back to cyanobacteria. Yeah, we share 7% of the same DNA with a daisy. We share 98% of the DNA of a chimp. But now here's genetically engineered. Now, you don't have to create a whole new species. Just plug in a little DNA there, a little DNA there, flip a switch here, flip a switch there. Today, you got some scientist that's turning around using flipping on genetic switches to grow teeth in chickens. They start with a fertilized egg, and the way that they fertilize it is they turn on different genetic markers that make that once as the beak forms, you could see it actually grows teeth from. It goes through one stage, and the idea is to turn on those genes to make those teeth dominant, and so you wind up with a chicken with teeth. So
wouldn't want to piss that off, it'll come and bite you.
Well, you see, it all goes back to the genetic markers of the dinosaurs. You know, you have some of these huge birds that are indigenous to South Pacific, you know, the largest bird on Earth was in New Zealand, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. I know what you're talking about. I've looked into that before. Yeah, I'm not sure where that was. It might be New Zealand, yeah.
Yeah, I forget the actual name of it, but the thing was huge. It was like, it made like ostriches look like chickens. Yeah, they stood 11 feet high at the head or something like that. They're absolutely huge. And there was also a form of eagle there that was pretty much almost big enough to take its young away. These giant birds. So, you know, Land of the Giants and of the Lost, yeah, it did exist. They find the fossils. So, you know, we know that different life forms or different genetic strains of humans it lived throughout Indonesia. They found, there was, I forgot what island it was, where they found essentially the hobbits. If you go do the research, yeah. Type in, you know, it was a whole little human genome, you know. I don't know, what do you want? Go to the European terms for them. Elves, hobbits, what would you call them? Gnomes? You know, now you got all sorts of Middle Earth stuff that come up, which, guess what? May have an actual connection to pre-modern human or modern man. before we were made with perfect DNA. Something to think about.
Yeah. No, definitely.
How are we doing on the sound? Because I'm getting a terrible feed here.
Yeah, no, it's cutting in and out at stages. So, as we said beforehand, you just sort of get this thing with Skype.
Peter, you are so broken up, I didn't hear a word you said.
Yeah, no, it's coming through this way on occasions too. It's coming good and then going bad again.
Okay, let me ask a question. Do you want to reconnect the call, or do you want to just keep on going?
We'll just keep going because I've done it before, and it just, when it's crap quality, it's just going to continue on and off. There's no, yeah, the connection just won't get any better from my end anyway.
Okay, in that case, we'll continue.
Yeah.
Let's see. Here we are with the Anunnaki returning. I'm sorry, I digress. Here we are with the Anunnaki starting the same nonsense, or starting this nonsense, ancient Sumeria. It's carried around the world, and it's ruled us since the very beginning, and we can track it historically. But we follow the Western paradigm for some reason. And it's the, interestingly enough, when you look at the history, Abraham, and this is where the Abrahamic covenant comes into play. This is the covenant between Yahweh and Abraham. For some reason, Abraham was found to be head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a righteous. Where was he from? The land of Ur. He was a Chaldean. He lived in the land of Samaria, not too far from ancient Babylon. And so while he was a mature man, he was told to leave there and head, sell all his belongings and, you know, trade it in for tents and head to what was called the Promised Land. And that's pretty much what happens. And so we get the story from Babylon east. There's no covenant that's made with anybody that goes from We've got a movement from Babylon west, not from Babylon east. So the covenant is made with a man that is in Samaria, and he's told to go into what is now Israel, that general area, the Holy Land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and that this was going to be their land. And that's where we, when you look at Genesis, as we get past the flood, once we get past the building of the Tower of Babel, we pick it up with Abraham, and we follow it right into Egypt. Because we go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, who has his name changed to Israel, who has 12 sons, which is where the 12 tribes come from. And those 12 tribes, because of, now remember, their brother Joseph. Joseph was loved by Abraham, by his father Israel. And the reason being is because he was the firstborn by his mother Rachel. There's a real love story, an interesting love story that goes on before he has his name changed. I got to get my lineage correct. Yeah. Jacob winds up working for his father-in-law for 7 years so he could have the hand of his daughter, who he's in deep love with. And his father-in-law says, okay, you got a deal. You work for me 7 years, and you can have Rachel. And he swaps up her sister. And so her older sister gets put in place of Rachel. They get Jacob drunk. And Jacob finds out about it the next day. He says, what the hell? You know, what did you guys do? Yeah. Well, his father-in-law says, well, you know, she's the oldest sister. I couldn't let her be insulted by a younger sister. And I'll tell you what, you only have to work for me another 7 more years, and you can have her sister next week after the customary period is over.
Now, the problem was, is that as much as he loved Rachel, she didn't have any children. She couldn't get pregnant. And it wasn't until with Joseph. And so Joseph becomes the most beloved out of all of his children. And he there's jealousy among his brothers because Joseph has only half-brothers. Joseph's only brother isn't born until his mother dies, and that's Benjamin. And Benjamin's the youngest, and he comes into play in this whole story. But anyway, they sell Joseph off into slavery. He winds up down in Egypt, and he becomes second in control, or second most high in all of Egypt. The only person who has more power than Joseph is Pharaoh himself. Now, here's where the story that academia gives us and where the reality is splits. Because when the Israelites come down into Egypt, Pharaoh wants Joseph's family. Joseph interpreted a dream that essentially gave Pharaoh the upper hand. They knew the drought was coming. They filled their grain houses to the maximum, as heavily as they could make them. And then the drought happened, and they started selling grain for land. We'll feed you. Give us your land. So, you know, if that should happen in the future, you know where they got the idea from. You ever wonder why there's, well, you folks down under, I don't know what your currency looks like, but our currency's got an Egyptian pyramid with an all-seeing eye on it, winking at us, letting us know, you want to eat? Give
We've
us
got
your
similar
land.
Stuff. We haven't got the pyramid, but even with Parliament House, you can see a lot of, you know, so-called Illuminati symbolism on it and all that type of thing. Basically the same thing, but in a different way.
Yeah, so it's all intertwined. It's all connected through Freemasonry back through to Egypt.
Well, a large amount of Australian prime ministers were Freemasons as well. And then I think you got 39 presidents or something like that out of 42 or 43 that were Freemasons over there as well, something like that.
Well, when you do the research, and this was actually Richard Hoagland and in this, I was watching his $33 interview on when Comet Elenin was flying through. He did a special board of brilliant men. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen that had come together to talk about Comet Elenin and why for $33 you could come and listen to us talk about this. $33, Richard? And in foray, you find out that, oh, there are good Freemasons and bad Freemasons. But it all boils down to that Freemasons are essentially the priest class at the highest level. At the highest level, they are the priest class for Isis and Horus and Osiris. Ah, so it takes us back to the, that's why all the symbolism, which takes, and so now they're bringing the gods into play in a different way. Now, we don't believe in the gods anymore. But everybody's got a religion, and inside the religion is no longer even spoken of the truth. We started talking about Emperor Constantine in the Bible. Now, all of a sudden, the Roman Empire reemerges as the Holy Roman Catholic Church, and now it runs the world through corporate law, interestingly enough. Now, let's take a look at the history of the Bible and the church. If the Bible was the Word of God and the truth from Jesus,
And the church really wanted you to understand what was in that, then they would have made a gallant effort in its earliest days to have the languages through the monks and scribes so that people around the world could read the blessed writings of the ancient scribes and the wisdom of the Christ or Messiah himself. But no, it was translated into Latin. It was kept a secret only for those within the church. Anyone found reading the Bible was burned at the stake. Boy, what kind of secret knowledge were they hiding?
Yeah, I didn't even know that till I read a book by a bloke named Father Chiniquy, I think is pronounced. And he was goes back to the 1800s, and because he had the Bible, he was a priest for the Catholic Church, I think, in Canada, or no, it was America, actually. Abraham Lincoln actually ended up being his lawyer. I can't remember what he got done for, but it was, I can remember going into it that the only way he had the Bible when he was young was because his mother had a copy for some reason. So I didn't know that about you, like, not being allowed to read the Bible for a very long time, hundreds of years.
Yeah, well, the actual first translation was by a Catholic priest who translated it into French. And I think that was around the year 800 and something, close to 900. So, now, what's interesting, and this is almost hilarious when I think about it. I can't make any sense of my own life. When I look at all the events of my life, nothing lines up, nothing makes sense, until I turn around and go look at my ancestry. I have to look at both my mother's life and my father's life, but more importantly, my father's life. Because on my father's side, until my cousin over in Germany started researching our family tree, found out that we are actually French and that we left France because of persecution from the church, and that we were involved in the Huguenot movement, which actually starts with the foundation. It goes back to the first people who were caught dogging out the church for lying to everyone. I've got roots doing this stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Generations ago, 1,000 years ago, my ancestors were doing the same thing that I'm doing now, calling the church a liar. Yeah. Now, if the church was telling you the truth, what they would tell you is that in Genesis, and you see, this is why I looked at, this is why I'm not a minister or a priest. This is why I became a scientist, because I needed to understand, prove it to others, or at least present a good enough theory that somebody would have to say, how do we prove this? Well, we can't prove it yet because we're not scientifically advanced enough yet. And I'm going to prove that right now. We could not understand the full meaning behind the Bible until the 20th century. Not just until the 20th century, but until the 1960s. And here's the reason why. Second chapter, the 21st through the 23rd verse. And here's the proof right here. God saw that it was not good for that the man was alone. So he decided he was going to make a helper for him. So he caused his sleep to come over the man, opened up the flesh, removed a rib, closed over the flesh, took the rib and built a woman. He brought the woman before the man, and the man said, "At last, this is flesh of my this one was taken from man. I will call her woman. She's my clone. They removed a tissue sample, sent it down to genetic engineering. They bioengineered or genetically engineered a female copy of the tissue sample that was given to them. They switched the chromosomes from Y over to X. They flipped on a couple of DNA switches so that hormones would be created and other hormones would be suppressed. They put it into the shake and bake machine, turned on the incubator. When it went ding, out popped a woman, and they brought her down to Earth. You want a better explanation for it? Go ask the genetic engineers themselves, but first ask who were the genetic engineers. You see, we would not understand that this was genetic engineering until we could figure out what DNA was. And we didn't know what DNA was until it was discovered until in 1953. We didn't know we could genetic 1960s. And by the end of the 1960s, there was actually a gathering of future genetic engineers and current scientists trying to figure out what parameters that they should draw up so they wouldn't be playing God.
And now you've got places where you can choose the gender of your baby before it's born, and that very similar stuff.
I have no, if you know what I just said.
No, I heard what you said. I was just saying that now you can choose the sex of your baby too.
Peter, we are SOL. You are frozen up there, my friend.
Frozen up? All right, I'll just... There we go. Have I come back?
I don't even know what to say.
You're coming through fine. Can you see me now?
I think that this may have been too much truth for the internet NSA spies to handle. And so we have a bad transmission here, folks. Sorry for the inconvenience, but life goes on.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You're coming through okay on this end. There's a bit of a freeze every now and then. I was just saying how now today we're actually able to choose the sex of our kids.
Well, I can't hear a word you're saying. All I hear is the little tones that let me know that a voice is talking on Skype.
Coming through very bad.
That was a little bit better.
Well, where do we go from here? Where does Nibiru come into this and the return of Christ?
Well, we can go there in just a second. When you examine the scriptures, and this is the way I learned them, I wasn't taught Catholicism or whatever ism that there was or is or exists. I had a very interesting education within the scriptures themselves. I was taught, interestingly enough, that there used to be a very specialized knowledge group, which seemed to be family more than anything else, the immortals. And it's these that taught me actually the scriptures and how to understand them from a political viewpoint, an exopolitical viewpoint, and how there are several different life forms involved in this. They are generically called the sons of the true God. In other words, all the interdimensional life forms that existed, even created, those who got involved in the genetic engineering program within the third dimension, more than likely, and NASA and astrophysicists and astro scientists have told us over and over and over again that life exists. They believe that life exists wherever liquid water once existed or does exist. And we know that there's a lot of liquid water in the looking for planets like Earth. And based on what they found, they estimate that there's over 100 trillion Earth-like planets now. or planets that reside within the multiverse. So guess what? There's a lot of room for expansion, and you gotta start somewhere. Now, when you look at the record of the Bible, man, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that Yahweh, or God, created man from the dust of the ground. Now, science will tell us that humans evolved and that Cro-Magnon man was pretty much the last upgrade. And we're a lot like Cro-Magnon man is now. So really, it was what changed. I'll tell you what changed. Cro-Magnon man was the final design, but Cro-Magnon man did not have perfect DNA. He didn't possess the God gene, which connects all of the junk DNA together. He did not have the soul of Yahweh. Now, when you look at the record of the Anunnaki say, oh, well, we genetically, basically, they have the same kind of genetic engineering story, and they say, well, we genetically engineered you from lower life forms. Well, the model was taken from lower life. When you read the scripture, it says that God blew the breath of life into the man's nostrils. It was the soul of God, or the soul of Yahweh, which animated the flesh. Now, think of Frankenstein. Bang! Put the soul back in. You're on your way. You know, Adam was genetically engineered, shake and baked from the stars. Yeah, no joke. And they put them all together, arranged them in exactly what they wanted, with perfect DNA as a container for an interdimensional life form that would live their lives in the third dimension, populating it with more children of God. Boy, what a stretch of the imagination. We have a new life form. And if we were perfect, we would wind up not dying. Our bodies regenerate themselves every 7 years. So what happened? What happened? How did our DNA get damaged? Now you go back and look at another alien involvement within the scriptures. And here, to sum it up in the most logical explanation, the genetic engineers for life in the third dimension saw that the final paradigm for the prime directive of Earth was going to be alpha state of mind. So man or humans would be given perfect DNA and a perfect body, but we would only be given 3 operating speeds of our brain. In other words, our brain would only be able to cycle in alpha, theta, and delta, or what is now called alpha, theta, and delta. So we would have free will, but we wouldn't be able to go to have our mind cycle past alpha, which means that we relaxed, very loving, very caring. We would be in harmony because alpha and theta are what the Earth actually literally vibrates at. The Earth moves back and forth between alpha and theta. And so if we didn't have the beta operating system, and only the first 3, then we would be in harmony with the Earth, with each other. So you wouldn't see starving people around the planet. We would care about each other, so you wouldn't see crime down on the street. You wouldn't see bankers or banksters looting people's fortunes. You wouldn't see war. You wouldn't see refugees. You wouldn't see the hate. You wouldn't see the fear, because all of that resides in the operating speed of beta. Beta is where fight and flight reside. You want to fight? Now you're in beta. Come on. Get the blood pumping. Come on. I'll kill you. Get the blade pumping. Come on. Come on, you better run. Get the blade going. You see how that works? Try to make love to your wife at that. Whoa, she's going to kick your butt. If you're going to make love to your significant other, you had better be an alpha. Otherwise, they ain't going to appreciate it, and neither will you. So, you know, but do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, I'll see where you're going, yeah.
Let's go. If we could eliminate that, if we could eliminate that mindset, what happens to the world? Whose idea was it to beta test us? Why couldn't they just leave the paradigm in alpha? See where we're going?
Yep.
See where we're going? And so God said, okay, the challenge is up, Adam. You eat from that tree, that tree. Tell Eve, she's your twin sister. You're responsible for her. She's the younger one. You go tell her, explain it. Well, you know, maybe he explained it to her, maybe he didn't. One day she had this fruit. Oh, yeah, the proverbial fruit. I heard this before. Uh-huh. What if the fruit contained a virus which attacked our DNA, erased part of it? How about that? Yeah. Fruit gave us something like AIDS. Or worse, Ebola. I just wiped this right out right there. Think about it. What the fruit did is it installed the beta programming. How do we know that? So they ate the fruit. Idiots. Told them not to do that. But they ate it. And as soon as they ate it, they realized they became ashamed. It was cool being naked before. You used to like that. What happened? They put clothes on. Now you're putting fig leaves on. Now all of a sudden they hear the voice of God. And they become afraid. And they run. And they hide themselves. They take flight. Part of the beta operating system of the mind. Escape. Did you guys eat that fruit? Made me do it. Is that so? Well, it was the serpent's fault. He lied. Is that so? Hey, I told you, let's beta test them. They failed. They didn't listen to you. They listened to me. Okay. 6,000 years of hell. Time for the change to come about. Beta test failed. Give man the beta operating speed of the brain where we can now kill each other and we forget all about love, to where we have are almost on the brink of nuclear warfare anyway. No, actually we are having nuclear warfare. We are having Fukushima burning down, emitting probably the amount of one Hiroshima-type nuclear device per day for the last 3 years almost, polluting this planet with nuclear radiation. And if we didn't have outside help, the only way out is the 2045 initiative of the transhuman agenda to transform the flesh into cyborg bodies made of nanobots. So essentially, should they meet their goals of the 2045 initiative, all biological humans will be dead. Who's the beta test failed? Let's just kill them all. No, that's not the point. That's why you have this story about this guy whose angel comes along and says, hey, little Jewish girl, God impregnated you last night. You're carrying a zygote made of perfect human DNA, and it has the soul of the Most High's son within it. And so the soul of possibly the soul of Michael before him, which goes on to be the soul of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, gets to spend time on this planet as a human, and they kill him.
We killed E.T. right here in front of us. Told us, my kingdom is no part of this world, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, the nations are going to be ruled with an iron rod. Or actually, in Revelation, the 19th chapter, he says that there is a sword coming out of his mouth to judge the nations with. You know what happens when you judge somebody with a sword? Off comes a body part. At least that's what happens in the Middle East. So now we have some synchronization. We have 6,000 years worth of alien involvement. According to the Mayans, their feathered snake god is supposed to be coming back, or has come back, or is, you know, we just ended the long Bakhtun. Regardless of whether you want to count what some people said and it ended in 2012, or what other people said it ended in December 16th, was it, I believe, the same time that comet Ison was supposed to align between Earth. You know, where'd comet Ison go? No alignment. What happened? Your feathered snake god didn't make it back? Makes you wonder about that, considering it just vanished.
Yeah.
It disappeared, broke up and disappeared into nothing. And nobody gave us any data. No, you know, all of a sudden, it was another what almost seemed to be a false flag event. Did it even exist? You tell me. Comet, and it just disintegrated, and its time, it got too close to the sun. It was probably the Mayan marker, and instead of seeing comet Ison, we got 10 days of Mandela broadcast around the world. The man who died twice, once on June 26th and again on December 5th. Now, they couldn't plan the June 26th death, but they could keep him on ice until December 5th and say, oh, he's really dead now. Come on. We got 10 days of Mandela. What for? That's a whole nother show for a different time. But it has to do with the awakening of the African continent and the unleashing of interdimensional life forms. Makes you wonder why what's going on in Africa is going on in Africa. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, do the research. There's a holy war, even though nobody's talking about it. It's Islam against Christian, a precursor of more things to come. We have something else, which is the prophecy. There's six prophecies regarding a blood moon. And the first of them starts this Passover. Actually, when Passover ends. Passover is also the memorial of the death of Christ. Remember, Jesus died on Passover.
Yep.
He said, and he told his followers to keep on doing this in memory of me until I return. So if Jesus came back, when would it most likely be? Maybe sometime around Passover? No, not saying Passover, because this Passover we have an eclipse. We have an eclipse also in the fall. It's the festival of Booths. I forget the modern name that the Jewish folks use for it. And then we have another eclipse on the Passover next year, 2015. And finally, these are all blood moons. And the last blood moon is on the same festival in the fall on September 28th. Interestingly enough, the historic, the most historical accepted date for September 29th. That's also what you would find on doing the research with the Pyramid Inch, which brings us back to the pyramid. Funny how this all intertwines, you know? Extraterrestrials, aliens, ancient gods, the coming of the movement of the planets, things passing by. Well, what happened 5,125 years ago, the Long Bakhtun? Well, you got to go into the Mayan research, but if you look at the Book of Enoch, it covers the same time 5 years ago. And what happens then? We get an alien invasion. The Book of Enoch says the Watchers came. The Bible says it was the sons of the true God that came. This is pre-Anunnaki. This is the first alien invasion. How do we know?
because of the long Bach tune date of 5,125 years ago and where it syncs up in biblical chronology. The Anunnaki story, which gives us religion and government, does not have. So, second alien invasion. The third alien invasion happened in 1914, and we started having world wars here on Earth. Revelation, the 12th chapter, tells you why. War breaks out in heaven, and Michael and his angels battle with the great dragon and its angels, and the great dragon and its angels do not prevail. And so down they are cast outside the other seven dimensions into the three-dimensional world, are imprisoned on prison planet Earth because Earth is specifically picked out, and it says, woe to the Earth because the devil has been cast down to you, having great anger, knowing he has a short amount of time. How do we know Satan has come to it? Well, if you folks, you might know this song, the devil comes down to Georgia. I forget the country western singer who has the dueling fiddles with the devil in the he's in Georgia.
I haven't heard that one.
Well, anyway, yeah, it's an interesting. Folks in the States would get it. I forget the actual country western singer that does the song, but it's a you know, things are a little slow in hell, so the devil's got to speed things up, and so he's got a fiddle of gold that he's willing to bet souls against. And so if you are a better fiddle player than the devil, you win the fiddle of gold. But if you're not, he gets to keep. And so he goes up against this young man named Johnny in the song, and Johnny's a better fiddle player, and he gets the devil's fiddle of gold. But he had to put his soul on the line in order to get it. And you know, it's interesting. Go to Hollywood or the entertainment industry, and you hear that story so many times that they need to sell their soul to Satan in order to become successful.
Yeah.
You know, and so then you get all the you know, that you see Lady Gaga and what's oh, there's the one, Jay-Z, you know, come on. What, they got to stick it in your face and you don't know what they're doing? That's an insult. Oh, look, let's do that too. You know, up go the devil horn hand signs,
yeah.
And they all got their little signs. Oh, that's cool, let's do that too. Idiots. Let's do that too. Yeah. Follow them right off the cliff like a bunch of blind sheeple that they are. But some people are waking up. You see, some people don't buy into the deception. Some people understand what that little triangle symbol and the closed eye are all about. And some people have the testicular fortitude, man or woman, to go tell other people and wake them up too before it's too late. So what are we talking about here? About an interdimensional war. We are talking about a faction of the genetic engineers of life within the third dimension didn't want the children of God to take over the third dimension. They wanted to be the gods of the third dimension. And so they destroyed our DNA and reduced us back to Cro-Magnon status and gave us this cockamamie story. Well, they harvested our souls for louche. Look it up. Look up the Viril Society. It's a society that was very popular during Nazi Germany. It emerged after the First World War, and they would kidnap children, young children, most of which who were fatherless, if not parentless, and they would offer them up in sacrifice. So that's part of the world we live in. Who are they sacrificing to? Where do they get their power from? Go back to the devil horns. Go back to the secret eye symbols. And so that's why what we have happening now is like almost a repeat in history. We have what is going on here essentially a repeat of the passing of Planet X, possibly, or at least some sort of a Nibiru. There are six prophecies that deal with the darkening of the sun and the moon becoming as blood. There are all, along with the four literal blood moon eclipses that we have all on Hebrew holidays, there are also two solar eclipses. The first solar eclipse is on the first day of the Jewish month of Nisan, which is also the spring equinox. The first one is in 2015, next year. The second one, the sun is eclipsed on the first day of Nisan again. And what do we have on the 14th? Well, if this is a symbolic battle between the sun gods and the moon, or say the sun god and the god of true light. Remember, Satan keeps on to an angel of light. So we have a whole long history of this sun god that's been looking at us through the eye of the triangle, through all of the different symbols that we use today. The Nazi swastika was a sun symbol. The Jewish star, or the Star of David, is a sun symbol. It's also known as the Star of Molech and the Star of Raphan, or the Star of Saturn, as in the god Set was at best a bisexual god who required live child sacrifice. Oh, were we just talking about child sacrifice? Yes. Set. You look at the letters that the church puts forth, it's I, H, and S. Isis, Horus, and Set are the gods that they worship. Christ is the dead man on a stick. Excuse me. Yeah, so we're being ruled by a bunch of sun worshipers who are saying, look, here's your God. Right here, the dead man on the stick. Our God is the sunbeam behind him. Bow and worship. And so everybody says, bow and worship Christ? Okay. No, you're bowing and worshiping the sun. Just that simple. And you've been duped. And all of Christendom has you doing it every Christmas. Here, take communion. You ever see the little thing that they put the bread in? Sunburst.
Yeah.
Body of Satan. Body of Ra. Body of Ra. Sure ain't the body of Christ. Christ wouldn't be in a church today.
And all that energy goes to them.
Yeah, that's it. And you see, that's one of the things about the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon, to twist the meaning of the Abraham. So why it is written in Revelation, the third chapter, the ninth verse, where it says, where it talks about those who claim to be Jews but are of the synagogue of Satan and they are lying, or actually it says, those who claim to be Jews but are lying and are not but are lying and are of the synagogue of Satan, that's why they use the star of Saturn or the star of Molech on their flag. David saw that, he'd be spinning. So here, into this group of ET rebels that were most likely, a good portion of them, were the genetic engineers for the third dimension. They got to come from somewhere. Now people say, oh, he's crazy. They're from the Palladians. They're reptilian. They're grays. They're Nordics. They're this. They're that. Yeah? How do you know? The biblical record says that they do exist. And it says that they are interdimensional. Call some of them cherubs, some of them seraphs, some of them, that there's at least one more. And then you've got all sorts of other angels. Angel just means messenger of God. Doesn't give us the exact life form. But chances are that they existed long before the third dimension was created. Remember, according to the mathematics of string theory, the other seven dimensions get along just fine without us.
Maybe that's where the expression seventh heaven comes from. They don't need the three dimensions that we are in. Because without those other seven, we're out of here. We don't exist. We are little more than a figment of God's imagination at that juncture. And we're little more than that right now. We're a vibration. We're a vibration of a tiny, tiny, tiny little unbelievable particle that makes us feel solid. But consciously, in our soul, consciously, we are not limited. Body is. So through meditation, going into alpha and going into theta and going into delta, we can associate with our interplanetary or intergalactic or interstellar or interdimensional friends anytime we choose in a perfect environment if we had perfect DNA. Because then we would be just like Jesus was, and this was the whole point of being there. You know, you want to know what perfect DNA is all about? Look what the Gospels say Jesus could do. Thousands with leftovers, cure the sick, make the lame walk and the blind see, heal the dead. And so when you get to Revelation, the 21st chapter, and we have this paradigm shift where the rebel forces that have us now aren't releasing us, I'm not even going to get into where do they come from. They're all part of the rebel force. You figure it out. If they're carrying a message related back to the scriptures, then be that they are with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But don't look for that to happen until after a Nibiru-type event. Because the Nibiru-type event is the last marker.
Well, we've got just under 10 minutes left. So what you're saying is when a Planet X-type event happens, that would be a marker, a sign for the return. Now, yes, to you, what would the return of Christ be? Is it actually how it plays out in the Bible that he will be returning, or is it a conscious collective awakening? Because there's many looks at how this will happen. What's your take from your point of view, studying this, living this?
What do we have around us today? We have reports of poltergeists or demonic forces. We've got reports of aliens working with the military, giving them advanced technology. We've got reports of the elite of this world sacrificing fellow humans to these. Check out Vril Society, very big during Hitler's reign, no doubt. And then go back and see who financed Hitler. It was the United States and England who financed Hitler.
Yeah.
Guess where the technology went after the fall of the Third Reich? They got rid of the crazy and they took the technology.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you got UFOs out in Arizona flying around, or New Mexico rather. You know, connect the dots. There are other alien life forms, or what we call alien. But the paradigm of them being poltergeists, which gives them very little substance. Well, there we have the account of in the scriptures of Jesus and Legion, where a man is being demonically possessed, and he's being possessed by about 1,000 of these interdimensional life forms. Picture a cloned alien army of Mars and not Earth, so they're not going to look anything like us. Possessed, demonically possessed by the souls of the Nephilim, which according to the book of Enoch were bound to the earth. In other words, their souls were not leaving the third dimension. They were stuck here. So think of dealing with that under something like Project Bluebeam, an invasion. And we really would. This would match up very nicely with what it says in Revelation chapter 9, where it talks about a fallen star. And we know it's a fallen angel because the angel or the star is given the keys to the pit of the abyss, and he opens it up and releases a plague that is something that has the face of men, the hair of women, the teeth of lion, the body of a horse, a tail like a scorpion. Makes you wonder about the and it goes and it plagues the earth for 5 months, and it stings the men. The men wish they could die, but they can't. Death keeps on fleeing from them. Alien invasion when? These things are the size of horses ready for war. And they're a composite beast. Sounds like genetic engineering to me.
Yeah.
So, the rumors are there. The whistleblowers have all said projects happening. And I don't have a better explanation for Revelation 9. It stumped me. I have looked at Revelation 9 for years, re-examining it, looking at what's going on in the world, and it keeps on coming back the same thing. It's an alien invasion, a false flag alien invasion. So, you ask what the return of Christ is going to look like? Something that can kick that's butt. Mortals, which will rule with I say rule, but essentially they're responsible for the restoration of Earth and the restoration of the human genome. The immortals are actually or were previously humans. These are the people that Jesus said were his brothers, not physical brothers, but the people who carried on that message and were willing to die for what he taught them. It was the exopolitical message that talked not worshiping some ET, not creating some new religion, but explaining that this life form, which goes and gets the title of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when that life form died, and you know, this might be a little hard for people to grasp. Talk to somebody who's had a near-death experience. Somebody who's actually died and was put back in their body. When I was out of my body, I could have been put back into any body. Yeah. And when I died, it was instantly. 1 second I was in my body freaking out that I'm dying and I couldn't tell anybody. And the next second I'm out of my body looking at them wheel my body down a hospital corridor and I feel like I'm being pulled right away from where I was. And I'm like, No, this can't be happening, you know. But I couldn't tell anybody. I was basically paralyzed. Being pulled into the great white light, what looked like what everyone describes. That's the only thing which is consistent, that and being put back in your body. So I figure if I was put back in my body, why couldn't I have been put back into a perfectly genetically engineered body? Come on, Lord, you know, I could have gone and shown this perfect DNA around town, let the scientists... We could have started a whole new... No, that's not in the plan. Get back in your body, get back to work. You know, that's what it boils down to. So I was... But I could have been put back into any body, and that's when I realized the flesh is just a container. Don't worry about them killing you. They'll kill the container. You'll be brought back perfect. Don't worry about it. We are, it's a vessel. It's like when you go on holiday and you decide to take a cruise, you get on a boat. Your consciousness is, it's all the different experiences that there are to have on that boat. Pretty much anything outside that boat, you don't care about. You know, the stars at night, the sea, the water, that's about it. You really care what's happening in the stock market? You really care if the government just crashed? You're on holiday.
Yep.
See ya.
None of that matters.
Nope. Especially if you're with someone you care about a lot. You know, then it becomes romantic and you get that whole alpha. And it's such an experience and you're enjoying life. Why come back to the fight or flight paradigm? You see, and so that's where it brings us. The problem is that the rebel forces would rather see us dead than to tell us the truth and let this process happen without all the calamity. because all it is teaching us the truth, how to live within the parameters and giving up our flight paradigm to give up the operating speed of alpha. You know, you have to give up a few other things. Chances are you're not going to turn around and go become a Olympic speed skater or a race car driver, because you kind of need beta to do those operations. But you know what? You'll be able to experience everything that there is on this planet and do it in harmony with the planet and the multiverse itself.
Definitely. A lot more to it.
Just the start. There are trillions of Earth-like planets. When you look at our own bodies, if we lived forever, if our bodies just kept on rebuilding itself every 7 years, brain kept on changing out all the organic matter every seven, yeah, we're going crazy. I know. Every 7 years. The brain changes out every 10 years. Body every 7 years, totally rebuilds itself, every cell. Scientists don't know why it breaks down, why that process stops. Okay, if it didn't stop, and we were perfect, we had perfect genes. Women, healthy women, are born with about 400,000 eggs in their ovaries. That means just to use up all those eggs, she has to live 35,000 years, at least. But just think, if she only passed one a year, you see, if you are living indefinitely, what's the hurry? Have fun. There's a whole lot of loving going to be going on. You see, the Earth is the starting place. Once we return to that perfect condition, that child of godlike condition, and are put in touch with the family that we have in the rest of the multiverse, as opposed to being captured by a bunch of rebels and being slaughtered like sheeple or like goyim cattle, we were meant to fill the stars. This is all about love. Right now, the universe is pretty much void of love. But with all those Earth-like planets, it gives us something to do for generation after generation after generation after generation. How long will it take for humans to fill the third dimension with love? Think about that paradigm.
Long time.
Can ever get tired of doing that? Oh, honey, I'm tired. Let's go to a different planet and populate that one for a while. You know, that's the honest paradigm. No, we're not going to die and go to heaven. What are we going to do? Go to heaven and play harp music? Well, some of us will. You see, now that's where the immortals come in. But even their job as the immortals is to make sure that our expansion throughout the universe happens orderly. Before the and they left their post, impregnated women, caused mayhem, the first destruction of Earth to remove the old paradigm. They were prevented from fully materializing and doing that again, so they needed technology to have us do their bidding for them. That is not going to ever happen again, because those of the immortals are our family. They were at one time humans who kept that faithful political explanation, which has nothing to do with the religious explanation of the Bible. Religion's a bunch of hooey. It's dogma. It's bow down and serve the sun. It's the same pagan crap that they've been serving up since time indefinite. And that's why in Revelation 17 and 18, it says it's going to be destroyed. And you know what? It's the new world order that destroys religion before it itself is destroyed.
Yep.
Let's get through the Blood Moon prophecies. Let's see what happens. We have Prince William, the most favored Antichrist figure, to turn 33 on the 21st of June at 2100 hours 3 minutes on in the 2015, And we have the last of the Blood Moon prophecies in 2015. A 41-page edict in October to change the monetary system of this world. So the monetary system is going to change. The dollar and your currency will be collapsing, and most likely they'll hand you some sort of card or give you an RFID chip and a bunch of bitcoins to go play with. They might even erase debt, considering that this is a debt system. We probably could expect a Nibiru-type flyby. Nibiru, if it is the same type of situation that happened back during the Exodus, the skies darkened, or it says that the land of Egypt was turned dark for 3 days. And interestingly enough, the Israelites settled in Lower Egypt, down in the land of Goshen, down where the Egyptian Great Pyramid, we're told it's Egyptian, but if you Judeo-Christian, but it's believed that the pyramid, the Great Pyramid of Giza, was supposed to be some sort of an electrical transmitter. And when you read the account, it says that lights were on in all the Israelite homes. Think about that. So it's right there in the Bible that while the rest of Egypt was in dense darkness, that's Upper Egypt, Lower Egypt, where the pyramid is built, where all the Israelites lived. Yeah, go read the scripture.
Yeah.
Read the account. They had lights in their homes. Anyway, it doesn't say exactly what it was, but it's just an interesting coincidence. So the truth has been hijacked and been taught to us as history and religion and anything but what the truth is. And today people tell you, oh, the Bible's a hoax written by a bunch of old men. Yeah, it's got some good stories in. Yeah, you know who gave extraterrestrials, the interdimensionals, some of them messages from the multiverse itself, the very soul of all 10 dimensions combined, just like we have that soul within us. Kind of hard to put your finger on it, but you can touch us. Kind of hard to put your finger on the soul of the multiverse, but I'll tell you what, it is pure dynamic energy, energy in its most pure form or state. And we are all connected. Strengthen that. Build on that. Use your mind. When you pray or meditate, you go into a state of alpha. How about that? You become more in harmony with the earth. If you learn to meditate, you become good at it enough, you can go into theta. Theta is where you can start to remote view things. You can start seeing future and past events. Kind of like a conscious dream world. And get yourself down even lower and go into delta, you can leave the building and be someplace else and actually see life in real time.
So true. Well, we'll wrap it up there, Pete.
So we have a lot to look forward to, provided we get our vibrations in harmony with the string theory and the vibration of how everything actually works and understand the truth going on. Yeah, you got to choose sides, because if we don't, here's our choice. If we say, yep, okay, I'll accept it. I have some faith. Maybe the scripture's true. Maybe this nut from America who makes some sense just might have it right. Let's say the paradigm that the scriptures lay out is true and we do have this great future ahead. What's the alternative? What are we facing now? Fukushima and the 2045 initiative, the end of biological humor. You decide. Do the research. You don't take my word for it. What I do wish you would do, go to my website, www.peterkling.com. It's in the process of being updated. So there's a lot of old information on it, but we're updating it. You can download a copy, a PDF copy of Letters to Earth, You Can Survive Armageddon, tonight, today. Start reading it. Everything that you need to know is in there. Interesting thing. The youngest
the oldest person that I know of, and I was just told about this last week, 96 years old. A woman said, my mother, who's 96, read your book and loved it.
And what was the youngest?
16 years old.
16, yep.
16 to 96. What an audience appeal. I've gotten a lot of warnings that I've gotten too close to the truth, but I never have gotten a negative word back on Letters to Earth, even Survive Armageddon.
Oh, that's fantastic, and I'll have a link up to that on where this can be downloaded at my website or where the YouTube video is. There'll be a link underneath linking them straight to your website.
Super.
We'll wrap it up there, Pete, and I really appreciate your time talking to me, and we're going to have to catch up in a bit of time. We'll let some time go by and any new updates or anything.
Well, here's a couple of things, one thing to be careful of, or a good quick piece of advice. Prepare for what's coming. If we do have an economic collapse, you're going to want to be able to, and the better you're prepared, water, food, forget cash, find some silver or gold, things that you can trade or barter. Secure yourself and your family, and then be ready to help others through a time of collapse. That's what we need to do, is to help each other. We're going to recover from it. Things might look good. There is a prophecy which needs to be fulfilled. It says, when the nations declare peace and security, then the end will be instantly. This will be a Nibiru-type event which will destroy the infrastructure. So warm up now with the economic collapse for what's coming in the future. With that, stay in Alpha. Stay in a state of love. Don't fight. And don't be afraid. With that, I'm going to say love and blessings to all. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Oh, it's the end of the weekend for you folks. Enjoy your week. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too, and thanks again, Pete. Talk soon.